This church is dismissed, K through 6. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again as we prepare our hearts to listen to His Word. Father, it is with great reverence that we open Your Word today. Father, I pray that in awe we gaze at Your Word, Lord, and we just sit here in awe, Lord, understanding the gravity of what You did for us and how You put Your Word together in such a way that we hold it the full revelation of Your plans and Your purposes and salvation for the world in our hands today. Father, I pray that we give Your Word the respect that it is due, that we listen carefully to what You have to say, and that our response, Lord, is to listen and obey, to trust that Your Word is true and perfect, and it is a guide, a foundation for our lives. Father, may the Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, bring to light, illuminate Your Scripture today, Father, in such a way that we hear it, and not only hear it, but we follow through in obedience. Father, lead us and guide us through Your Word today. May Your Word be spoken. May I not say anything that would hinder Your powerful Word, Your powerful truth from being understood. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at light versus darkness. Of course, this week we're going to look at freedom versus slavery. We looked at last week the difference between walking in darkness and walking in the light. As Jesus taught the people, He proclaimed that He was the light of the world. And if they followed Him, they would not walk in darkness. He actually said, in fact, He said in verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. To walk in darkness is to be in bondage to our sin, to be led by our own will and suffer in this world in our own strength, to be forever separated from God. What a horrible thing it is to walk in darkness. We talked about that last week. To walk in the light of life is to wholeheartedly surrender your life to Christ and His Word. And when we do that, He changes us from the inside out. He lights the way for us. He illuminates His Word that we may understand what our purpose is, what God's will is for our lives, and how to live in a way that pleases Him. When we follow Jesus, the light, we're not blinded to the enemy and his schemes to come and steal and kill and destroy our lives. Our prayer is that everyone in this community, everyone in this world would have the opportunity to walk in the light of Christ, to experience the multitudes of spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And as we think about that, as we move into this passage, real, true freedom is only found through faith in Christ. That's what we want to see here today. Real freedom, that true freedom, is found through faith in Christ and His Word. And only if you're a child of God can you speak of that wonderful freedom. Only if you're a child of God can you experience the kind of freedom that we're going to talk about today. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there in front of you. I think it's good for us to open His Word. It could be on your iPhone or whatever, digital, it doesn't matter. But if you have the Word, open there to John chapter 8. I think it's one for us to look at His Word and go through it together. Let's look at verses 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many times we hear that verse? It's a very popular verse. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, there were some Jews here who had, to a certain point, believed at least some of what Jesus was saying. And even though they gave some attention to what Jesus was saying, they in no way had committed themselves to Him personally. You see, it's possible to believe in the message of the kingdom of God and not truly be saved. As Jesus said, born again. It's kind of like the sower we encounter in Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 23, where he sowed the seed of the gospel widely. Fell in a lot of different places. And that passage talks about four different responses to the gospel. One, only one of those responses was true. They truly received the free gift of life from Christ, and there was fruit in their lives. But some of them received it and for various reasons never came to a saving faith in Christ. And there was no lasting fruit in their lives. As it is today, just as many people today say, you know, yeah, I believe in God. But it doesn't mean that they truly follow Christ, that they've surrendered their lives. It doesn't mean that they've truly received His free gift of life based on His terms. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Based on His terms. Not our terms. His terms. Here in verse 31, Jesus said, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples." So the proof of truly being a disciple of Christ is that we abide in His word, which means that we continue to listen to His word and obey His word. The one who abides in Christ and His word continues in that. That person is an authentic child, of God. A true disciple of Jesus will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Jesus calls Himself the truth, right? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him, right? In the first chapter of this gospel, Jesus is referred to as the Word that has come in the flesh. Jesus, when praying in the same gospel in chapter 17, verse 17, He's praying for His disciples and He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. Jesus is the true and only way to the Father. We receive eternal life through faith in Christ who is the truth. It is by God's truth of the gospel that we hear about this free gift of life. And as it states in Romans 10, 17, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The words of God are powerful. And we think back to when Paul, what he said about the gospel. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." It is powerful for salvation. By His grace, He has given us His powerful word that tells us about what salvation in Christ looks like, that through faith in Him, we receive forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. So not only are we set free from the bondage of sin through faith in Christ, the truth, but in Christ, through His Word, we're set free from the deception of this world. It plagues our minds. We all deal with this. Every day is a battle. Every single day is a battle. Flesh and the Spirit battle against each other. Believer who lives in the darkness that's around us battles against the lies of Satan. But in Christ, we are set free from the deception of this world. We're set free from following after false gods. We're set free from living a life focused on the temporary. We're set free from believing lies about who we are. We're set free from living a life with no purpose and no joy. Jesus renews our minds. He gives us freedom every day of our lives. That's some of the freedom that I want you to understand today. The freedom we have in Christ. Not just over the bondage of sin, but freedom from all the deception that plagues us in this world. God's Word is living and active. It is truth about God. It's truth about life. It's truth about our future. It's truth for us to live by every day. It gives us a foundation in our lives which everything else around us should be measured by. Everything else. This is what we look to measure, to see what is true, what is right, what is wrong, what is right for our lives and right for our marriages and right for our children. This is the foundation which everything else around us is measured by. It just depends on what your view is of God's Word. I love what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. You need to know these two verses. Very important to our understanding of God's Word. Very important to the fight, the deception and lies that people say about the holy Word of God. This is what it says. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. That's good to know. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All 66 books of the Bible were given to us by God. There is no error. There is no confusion. The Bible is truth. One grand story from beginning to end about His redemption. His salvation for us. Gives us hope for the future. 2 Timothy 3:16 is another one that states this. All Scripture is breathed out by God. By His grace, God has given us His truth. He's laid out the whole story for us so that we can understand where we came from, where we're going, so we can understand who God is, His power, His holy nature, His marvelous ways, His works from beginning to end. It reveals a hope for us, a real secure, not a wishful thinking kind of hope, a secure for sure hope for the future. He gave us His Word so that we would know how to live our lives while we're here on this earth. What will you do with His truth? What will you do with the holy Word of God? Will you let it just collect dust? Maybe you say that you believe His Word, but you never read, you never study, you never meditate on it. Will you have a Bible, but truly never cling to the promises that God is in His Word for your life? Promises that give you freedom from the lies of Satan, deception of this world. Promises that give you hope to persevere in this world. When you read His truth but never obey what He says, when you never allow the Holy Spirit that lives in you to use His Word to mold you into the likeness of Christ, to change your life. Abiding in His Word means we listen and obey what Jesus says. That's what His disciples do. That's what He expects of us. That's an authentic disciple of Christ. We continue to live by His Word, and His truth changes us. See, when we listen and obey His Word, we begin to grow in spiritual knowledge. And as we grow in that knowledge, the knowledge of His Word, we grow in freedom from sin and freedom from the bondage the world puts on our minds. We're not caught up in the lies. We're caught up in the truth that frees us from those lies. So many around us live in this world and they live in confusion. They live in turmoil. The foundations of their beliefs, their values, their actions are based on what is false. Based on the lies that Satan has established in this system or culture that we live in. God's truth will set you free from all of that. But you must truly turn away from your old life, that life of sin. You must repent of your sin and truly put your faith in Jesus, His work on the cross for you. You must then confess Him as Lord. You must then, as He says here, abide in His Word, and only then will you be set free. Even as followers of Christ, a child of God continues to abide in His Word, listening and obeying, following and trusting in God's Word. The question is this: is His Word of great value to you? Is His Word of great value to you? Do you have a high view of God's Word? The answer is found in how we treat His Word. As I've said many times, I've watched people's responses as I've handed them the Word of God that they never thought they'd have a copy of, but all of a sudden they had a copy of God's Word for the first time and they wept. They held that thing like it was the greatest treasure in the whole world. I've seen people who they have the Word and within, 6 months, it looks like somebody's read it for 20 years. It is devoured. It is like the pages are already worn. The answer to that question is found in how you treat God's Word. This is how God speaks to us. We must take time not only to read, but to meditate on it. Allow it to penetrate our hearts and our minds so that this becomes the foundation of your life. We live in a world that has been corrupted, destroyed by sin. All of nature, every human being, lives under the bondage of sin. And Jesus is saying, I will set you free from this. I will set you free. I will restore you and I will make you whole. I will give you life and freedom, even freedom over death. He wants to give us this abundant life right now and in the future, where we spend eternity with Him in a new heaven and a new earth. What amazing freedom. But sadly, so many of us want to come to God on our own terms. We live in a world that offers a multitude of options for everything we want. Every place you go to eat, Walmart, I mean, there's this multitude of options everywhere. There's always options. So many, we just can't even make up our mind what we want to choose. And therefore, we want different options for heaven as well. There are many who truly believe they can get to heaven on their own terms. I've been a good person, right? I mean, I don't know why God wouldn't let me in. I've done many good things for people. I've had many good deeds that I've accomplished. I've followed my religion with great zeal. I've held to the traditions of my ancestors. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. If that or anything else were enough, and there was no reason for God to come on our behalf and die on the cross for our sins. We know that no one can perfectly obey God's law. And Scripture tells us, His truth tells us that the punishment for our sin is death. And so Jesus came to pay that price for us. And by doing that, He established one way for us to be forgiven, to have freedom over death. And it's through Him alone that we receive eternal life. We cannot come to God on our own terms. We can't. Even after you put your faith in Christ. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Even after you put your faith in Christ, we don't have the option to live our Christian life on our own terms. We live this life by His terms. You are now a child of God, and He gives us the power to live life like Jesus did, to abide in His Word and obey what He says. Even after we come to Christ, we still want options. Do we truly have to abide by His Word? I mean, come on, can't we? Isn't there some grace or flexibility here? I mean, really? The Jewish response to Jesus here reveals their rejection of Him, their rejection of His Word. The second thing we want to see here is, first, freedom is found through faith in Christ and His Word, but slavery is found when we come to God on our own terms. Slavery is found. Look at verses 33 through 38. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." So again, these Jews, as we've seen throughout the gospel so far, they're not thinking spiritually. They're thinking physically, or maybe in this case, politically. Many people reject Jesus because they're confused about the physical and the spiritual. Nicodemus, remember him? He thought this was a physical birth that Jesus was talking about. The woman at the well thought, is this some physical water? I need this water. Give me this physical water that Jesus was offering her. But salvation is a spiritual experience. It has nothing to do with being born physically. It was about believing Him, putting their faith and trust in Him for eternal life. Now, the first part of this statement here in verse 33, it seems to be a true statement. We are offspring of Abraham. Seems to be a true statement, right? Long ago, God made this covenant with Abraham. You know, he said, I'm going to raise up a great nation like the stars of the sky. I'm going to raise up this great nation from you, and the whole world is going to be blessed through this nation. What happened? As far as the nation, circumcision, he gave to Abraham. He said, this is the mark that you will receive to be identified as being a child of Abraham, or in this case, maybe part of the people of God. In their minds, they're thinking, well, because we are children of Abraham, we are free. We have nothing to worry about, right? You see, for God, it was never just about the physical act of circumcision he wanted from them. It was about circumcision of the heart. He wanted to change their heart, the hearts of his people, by giving them true freedom from their sin. But these Jews don't understand. They don't recognize the bondage of sin they're in. They don't see it. It was such a part of their heritage. They were born into this nation. They followed the law, and therefore they believed they were okay. They adhered to the religious practices, but they never truly had repentance of the heart. They had missed the main point of Abraham's covenant with God. You see, it was Jesus, the Messiah, who would come through this nation that he had formed. And the world would be blessed through Jesus, the Messiah. They were supposed to recognize their Messiah, believe in him, and follow him. He would give them true life, true freedom from their sin. But see, they wanted to come to God on their own terms. And Jesus is telling them, that's not enough. It's not enough that you're circumcised. It's not enough that you're calling yourself a child of Abraham. Now, the second part of this statement almost seems ridiculous, or at least far from the truth. We've never been enslaved to anyone. Are you kidding me? Have you read the Old Testament? On the political side, the people of God were enslaved. They started out as slaves in Egypt. Then it was Assyria, Babylonia, Persia, Macedonia, Egypt again, Syria, and then Rome. And so they couldn't be talking about there's no way they're talking about political freedom here. It was the freedom that they thought they had from just being children of Abraham. They believed that they would escape judgment just because they were circumcised. They said, we're children of Abraham. And Jesus tells them later in verse 37, he says, you're not acting like children of Abraham, for you want to kill me. They didn't believe his words. They didn't believe the words of their Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. John the Baptist said earlier that God could raise up children of Abraham from these rocks. They were thinking of the physical relationship to Abraham, not a spiritual relationship to God. And that's what God was looking for. They never considered the heart. It's just the outward. My grandpa, he's a believer. I went to church when I was young. Isn't that good enough? They never considered the heart. And of course, as Jesus always does, he goes straight to the heart with his response to them. And he starts off here with truly, truly, which means he's pleading with them. He's pleading with them. He's saying, I'm telling you the truth. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everyone. Was there anyone who could stand there listening to his words and tell Jesus, I've never sinned. I don't sin. Could anybody honestly tell someone, any human being that has lived on this planet, actually say, I've never sinned, and be justified? You see, this changes everything. Everything. They thought because they were Jews and not Gentiles, God's people, not the people of the world, that they would escape the punishment of God for their sin. Jesus is telling them that physical circumcision is not enough in the presence of our holy God. All have sinned, and there's no one good enough to escape the just punishment of God. There's no one who can perfectly obey His law. Therefore, we are enslaved to our sin. We are in bondage, and therefore, we need a deliverer. We need someone to deliver us out of this. And this should have just lit up thinking about this. They had just finished the Feast of Booths, which reminded them of the freedom that they gained when Moses, when God sent Moses the deliverer to deliver them out of Egypt, and he took care of them. He sustained them in the desert. It should have been fresh on their minds. Jesus is confronting their false security of being children of Abraham, and he states in verse 35, he says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. What is he talking about here? If you remember, Abraham had two sons. The one son that God had promised he would give him, Isaac, the promised son, right? There was Isaac, okay? And then there's also Ishmael, the son of a bondwoman. Now, Ishmael was kind of brought forth and Abraham's temporary lack of trust in God to provide. But after Isaac, the promised son, was born, Ishmael had to leave the house of Abraham. And so Jesus is asking them, are you like Isaac, the promised true son of God, of this covenant, or are you like Ishmael, the one who was cast out of the house of Abraham? Were they in danger like everyone else of being sinners deserving of God's holy wrath? Of course they were. The whole sacrificial system that they adhered to for temporary forgiveness of sin was all pointing to Christ, the Messiah, the true and final Lamb of God for all the sin of the world. The whole sacrificial system that they had adhered to after year after generation, it all pointed to Christ. Wasn't about a temporary act of religion. It was about Christ, who would truly free them from their sin. And just as these Jews did not want to hear about their sin and the slavery they were in, people today are the same. No one wants to admit that they were a slave to anyone or anything. Oh no, I've got freedom. I'm free. I can do what I want. But as we look around us in this world, think about that for a moment. There are many people who are enslaved to their sin. They can't stop it. They can't stop sinning. They can't break their sinful habits. They can't overcome their sinful desires. And as you know, they can't come from out from underneath of the consequences of their sin. They're there. They're faced with it. They have to live with that reality. They're in bondage to their sin. They don't want to come to Christ because they think it will be too constraining. They think that they'll have to give up their freedom, but in reality, they're already in bondage. They don't have the power to stop the destructive force of sin in their lives. They truly don't have freedom. They've given themselves to the leading and the ways of this world, and they're led along without any power to stop, believing lies that have brought on more and more bondage. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that the case? Do they truly have freedom? Oh, I don't want to come to Christ. I don't want to give my life. I can't. That's too constraining. I want to keep my freedom. They don't have freedom. For those of you who are in Christ, you know what that freedom's like. The peace that you now have, the security, the hope, the purpose, the joy. It's greater than anything. Any temporary little feeling you got from achieving some goal or accumulating some type of material possession, it's greater. It doesn't even compare to the freedom we have in Christ. And I believe that Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23, explains the issue of freedom from sin versus slavery to sin perfectly. I want you to turn with me. You can hold your place because we're going to come back to John, but turn with me to Romans. Just got to turn over a few books there. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. I want you to listen carefully to what he says here. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. This is what he says. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Now that we're children of God, are we supposed to continue on sinning? No, by no means. Verse 16, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? What are we giving ourselves to? Whatever we give ourselves to, we become a slave of that. Whether sin, righteousness. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching, that's the truth, that's God's word, to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Sanctification, that's that lifelong journey that God has us on as He molds us more into the likeness of Christ. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time for the things in which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. That very familiar verse that talks about our punishment. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we give ourselves to a sinful lifestyle, we become slaves to our sin, and that sin produces death, and on top of that, all sorts of sufferings and things that we may now be ashamed of. I can look back at my past life before Christ. I can think of things that I'm ashamed of. Jesus is offering us freedom from sin and the power to produce in you sanctification. His freedom gives you victory over death. He gives you eternal life. Back in verse 36 of chapter 8 of John, he tells them, in verse 36, he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, Jesus is the true Son, the seed of Abraham, who is over the house of God. People can truly be free through faith in Him. Therefore, He adopted us into God's family. Think about that. Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh. He is the living water who offers us eternal life. He is the bread of life who sustains us spiritually forever. He is the light of the world that frees us from the darkness we live in. He is the truth that will set you free from the bondage of sin. And in order to make that happen, listen, He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that amazing? He's using all these analogies to show us who He is, what He's offering us. Freedom. Freedom. Life where we're not in bondage and slavery to sin. Christ came. He lived a perfect life as that Lamb of God. He was betrayed by His own people. He was crucified on the cross by the Romans. And on that cross, He became God's perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. He took your sin, my sin on Himself. He took your punishment of death and my punishment of death on Himself. And He died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the grave and He lives. Praise God, He lives. He defeated sin and death and He lives to offer you eternal life if you believe in Him. If you believe what He did for you on the cross and that He rose from the grave. If you confess Him as Lord of your life, meaning you turn from that old life of sin, you truly repent of it, you turn to Him, it doesn't mean that you won't sin again. You turn to Him and you entrust your life, you surrender your life to Him, you abide now in His Word and in Him, you follow the truth, you follow Christ in His truth, and you live for Him. And He empowers you. He gives you freedom from sin. He gives you freedom from the deceptive power of the world. He forgives your sin when you die. He gives you eternal life. And now you're adopted as His child. Set free from the bondage of sin. Set free from the punishment of sin, which is death. By God's grace, through faith in Christ, you are set free indeed. And now nothing can take you out of His hand. Nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing on this world, Nothing anywhere in this universe can separate you now from the love of God. You are His child. And He says He sealed you with His Holy Spirit. That's God's like seal, His guarantee to you and me that we are His child and we will be with Him forever. That's our guarantee. Think about that. Jesus wants to give us freedom in every area of your life. Every area. Even as a child of God, we find ourselves in bondage to our sin again because we've drifted away from our Savior. We've left our first love. We've stopped abiding in His Word for some reason. And then He tells, just like He told the Ephesian church, He said, you've left your first love. You left me. You stopped loving me. You stopped abiding in my Word. This became just another book to you. It's no more. It's no longer any. It's important to you. We started again relying on our own strength. We made up our own rules for following God. We want to follow Him on our own terms. And therefore, we find ourselves in turmoil, suffering in our sin, confusion about what truth is and what it means to be a Christian. How sad that is. As we looked at this morning with the prodigal son, God is so loving and gracious. He is faithful. He's loving. He wants you back. He's waiting on you to repent of your sin and come back to Him on His terms. And so He's patient with you. He's patient while, again, you learn to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Again, you learn what it is to be His child, to walk with Him in His mission. And then you know what He does? He gives you freedom. Freedom. Wonderful, true freedom over sin. Freedom over the captivity that the world puts on our minds. He says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We have the spiritual power to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. We have the spiritual power to do that. He gives us freedom. We're no longer tossed to and fro by the waves of this world and the deception that Satan has around us. He gives us freedom. That's the freedom we want to experience. That's just one of the many spiritual blessings we have in Christ. True everlasting freedom. Freedom over the bondage of sin and freedom over the bondage of this world and the temptations and all the other things that He throws at us. The lies, the deception. As the worship team comes, I don't know if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ. Maybe you have questions about following Him. Just like those little children that come at the Good News Club, the after-school program, who have questions. Since we started this spring, we've had two children come to Christ. Again, two children come to Christ. They keep coming and asking questions. And maybe there's questions that you have. You want to know what it means to truly put your faith in Christ. And I'll be in the back if you want to ask me questions about that. But if you're already a child of God, are you abiding in His Word? Is God's Word important to you? What changes would you need to make in order to restore your first love? Maybe you've become accustomed to living your Christian life on your own terms, and God is disciplining you and trying to draw you back to Himself to give you true freedom from the slavery of sin. What do we do? He says, repent. Turn back to Him this morning and experience what it's like to have that wonderful freedom we have in Christ. Let's take time to spend with the Lord.